Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to return to your word and to study. Help us now as we do that to learn exactly what you want us to know and apply it in the right way. Build our faith and trust in you and in your word. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word faith, if you will turn to Acts chapter 8, and we see here that even as a result of persecution, it can encourage the spreading of the gospel, which, as we see here, when they were persecuting the church, they scattered about and actually were doing what the Great Commission was, and that is spreading the gospel to other areas. As we get into it here in Acts chapter 8, get up verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Now, this is the setting here where they had just stoned Stephen to death. And up there in chapter 7, verse 58, it reads, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." Now, this Saul is the one who later goes by the name of Paul. But we see here what Saul came from. And that was a bitterness toward the church, toward Christians. In chapter 8, once again, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." The apostles stayed where they were, but the new converts, the new disciples, the new believers began to scatter about. Verse 2, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word," which was really what the Lord wanted them to do anyway, was to scatter about, to go spread the gospel. So when Satan makes an attempt to stop the Lord and the Lord's will, it doesn't work. The Lord will get his will done one way or the other. "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." So spreading the gospel, scattering it about, these devout men doing what the Lord had told them to do, these men of faith, and it was a great movement of believers as a result, a great increase in numbers of followers of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now turn on over to chapter 9, and we see what happens to this Saul, who was set out to hurt the church, but the Lord converts him in Acts chapter 9. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way meaning of the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So this was the attitude that Saul had. He ran out of folks that he could arrest and take in for persecution in the area he was at, so he heard that they were scattering, so he wanted to follow, and he followed them to Damascus to hunt down more believers. and bring them back to be persecuted, many of them horribly treated, and many of them killed in horrendous ways. So this man was clearly against the Lord. But note what happens. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul had the perfect response. He had the correct response. He immediately acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord, ultimate authority, humbled himself, and asked the Lord, What would you have me to do? So he instantly there came to the realization of the error of his ways, repented of that, and asked what he should do next. And the Lord told him, Go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In verse 7, And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Note, ordained, chosen specifically, with a purpose, with a task to do. Somebody that you wouldn't expect would be chosen. Somebody that was so contrary. It's amazing how many times we see examples throughout the Word of God, how the Lord picks people to do a task, to do a job, to serve Him that normally others wouldn't think would be chosen for such a task. The Lord can take anyone, even someone as evil and contrary as Saul was, and him to be converted and become a devoted, faith-filled follower of Jesus Christ. As it continues in verse 17, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Notice, straightway, right away, immediately. Not wondering, not plotting and planning and thinking how he should do this or that, or going to some university somewhere and getting a stamp of approval from a man. No, none of that. As soon as the Lord called him, as soon as the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost, set him on a mission, he went and did exactly what he was told. Verse 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name of Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Chosen, indwelt with Spirit, given the knowledge, given understanding, given the wisdom that he needed to do the task that the Lord wanted him to do, and set out immediately to do that. Truly a man of faith. Let's look at another man of faith we can see over in Acts chapter 11. A man by the name of Barnabas, who became an associate of Paul's, or Saul's, and was sent out by the other disciples, the other apostles, to go into various areas on mission field work. And here in Acts chapter 11, picking it up in verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So they began first to spread the gospel to the Jews, then spreading out and also to the Grecians, to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, just like it was prophesied, just like it was instructed. Verse 22, Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. That's awesome. Awesome testimony to the work of Barnabas there. Verse 25, Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. An interesting side note there. That's the first mention that you see of the title Christians, meaning Christ-like, the followers of Jesus Christ and His gospel. All right, now, in their efforts to go out and spread the gospel, just like we see, the devil will do as much as he can to be contrary, to turn against, and to turn others against. And he will use his followers to turn people away from believing. As we see here in Acts chapter 13, an encounter with one of these followers of Satan trying to turn the people away from Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, picking up in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manani, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, this false prophet, and he was actually a Jew, so he had more influence on someone because he had those credentials of being a Jew, and more folks would believe him. But note that it says he was a sorcerer. He was a flat devil worshiper, but he was a false prophet and a false teacher. Verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. See, this Elymas was also known as Bar-Jesus up there, and he was the sorcerer, and his purpose, his duty, his task of the devil was to be contrary to the Lord, to the teaching. And he was an associate of this Paulus and wanted to be contrary and keep him from becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. So we see this resistance that they've had. And we can see various people that we have encountered when we're out there. They come along behind us and put up roadblocks, put up diversions, put up obstacles, put false teaching in someone that we have tried to reach to try to sway them, to pull them away. We see a lot of that. The devil is still busy with all of his followers trying to stumble up the true believers in Jesus Christ. As it continues in verse 9, then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So, all this unfolding here, at least it did not keep Paulus, the deputy, from becoming a believer. He saw that this other man, Elymas, was of the devil, and he had been cursed because of his attempt to keep the deputy from believing, from becoming a Christian. Those out there that are contrary, those out there that want to put a stumbling block and want to keep people from becoming a born-again Christian need to hear that. If you do that, it's going to come upon you. There's going to be retribution. There's going to be accountability. All right, now turn on over to chapter 13 and verse 38, and we see here the movement of the Gentiles, vast numbers of the Gentiles becoming of faith in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 reads, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, we're coming upon some teaching here, and teaching to the Gentiles, as it continues, And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. This was a mingling together of Jews and Gentiles. The Jews rejected it, turned away from it. The Gentiles said, We want to hear more. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul. But, as you see here, there were some. It wasn't a blanket thing where all the Jews were contrary. Some were believers, some were not. Just like we see today in the world. You go out there, you preach the gospel to a group of folks. Some of them are going to come to you and believe. Some of them are going to turn away what you say and reject what you have to say. And the key thing is to keep preaching, keep teaching to all people. Because that's what the Lord told us to do. Lead them to Jesus Christ. To follow Jesus Christ. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came also the whole city together to hear the word of God. A great group came, a great response. It's awesome when you're able to see that. But when the Jews saw the multitude. Now, this wasn't all the Jews, of course. This was the contrary ones, the unbelieving, the ones who rejected the Lord. Those are the Jews he's speaking of here. But when the Jews, or the contrary Jews, saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So they do like that sorcerer and try to pull people away. Try to be a contrary individual. Try to be an obstacle, a stumbling block for the believers. And they start to speak against the truth. That's why it says here, speak against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Coming up with things opposite of the truth, which is the way the devil does. As it continues, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Now this is speaking to the contrary Jews, and meaning to the Jews in general, because that's what it was told. It's what they were told. That's what the Lord did, come to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. They shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Encouraged by this, encouraged even by the resistance, because they knew that they were doing a good work. When you're out there doing a work and the devil's doing everything he can to stop you, then you know you're going against the devil. That's what they were going through. And it was encouraging to them. It even gave them that much more boldness when they were receiving that rejection and resistance from the false teachers and from the contrary ones. Alright, now let's go on over into some of the records that Paul wrote concerning spreading the gospel. By this time, Paul has become quite the missionary, quite the teacher, quite the inspiration of others that he encounters. And here we see a letter that he has written to the church at Rome, to the believers in Rome. Now, these would have been primarily Romans or Gentiles, but it's specifically to the believers, whether they were Jews or Gentiles. And we see this in the letter of Paul to the Romans in chapter 1. It reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised for by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now here he's recognizing the faith of the believers in Rome. As it continues, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. See, the Romans had such awesome faith that it was being broadcast. It was being told about how faithful these folks were. Isn't it awesome that they have this testimony here? And it would be awesome that we, even as individuals, that we have such faith that it was being broadcast, that the reputation was being spread around. The fame of the fact that you have faith in God being told, that's an awesome testimony to have. And these did. And Paul is recognizing their faith here as it continues. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me, mutual faith. Common faith, common belief, common trust in Jesus Christ when you come together. That's what he's talking about, being comforted. When you come together with somebody else of great faith, it's encouraging, it's comforting to be around someone such as that. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and help us all to realize that the just shall live by faith. Thank you so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you all.